So would you introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Michael Kenny. I sing lead vocals, and I play the rhythm guitar and occasional lead guitar in the Almighty Rhombus.
I'm Carter Drake. I play drums in the Almighty Rhombus and sing some backup vocals and harmonies.
I know that there's a place called Sudbury. Yes. I know that it's a small place.
It's pretty small, but I like to think of it as a small, big city.
But well, what's the population of Sudbury?
150,000, I think.
Really? Okay, yeah. So that's a decent size.
It's a mining town.
A mining town. What do they mine there?
Well, we used to be the nickel capital of the world, but I think that's since been taken over by somewhere in South America. But
damn them.
Yeah, yeah. Stealing our thunder, but...
Sudbury still claims the title, though. Anyone from Sudbury will still tell you we are.
We also actually have a landmark. It's called the Big Nickel, and it's quite literally a large piece of currency sitting by this large mine where we excavate a lot of the nickel, so it's kind of interesting in that respect, I guess.
Yeah, it's like a 20-foot-high nickel. We're a rock band, and we play, like, pop rock, but we try to keep it not too glossy and... pussy sounding. We try to keep it a little bit of the grit there, you know what I mean? Try to and
no pussy, some grit. There's your t-shirt right there.
A little bit of pussy, but
a little bit of pussy, some grit. That's your band t-shirt.
Yeah. And me and Mike used to play in a pop band called Beam Cannon, so that band kind of evolved into this band in a way. We actually play one of the songs and our old guitar player doesn't even know about it.
He's out of the loop at this point.
Going on our album and we didn't even tell him.
You can subsist in Canada as a band and never leave Canada.
It's true. It's very true.
For many reasons. You can, you know, it's a country you can tour from east to west and you go back and forth and play a million little gigs.
Absolutely.
You can get radio play because of CanCon. You know, there are all these things that are an opportunity that in the U.S. would never, never happen. So let's get to that. Pop no pussy thing. Because again, we don't want to genre-lize in today's world when you have We Are Young by Fun,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, yeah. Hitting the top of the charts.
Absolutely.
Right? You have there's you know, there's heavy stuff and then there is pop.
Yeah.
And then there's stuff that really just goes well on the radio. So when you mm-hmm. sat down to make this band,
mm-hmm.
did you talk about any of that? How did you come to this is who we're going to be?
Well, I think coming into it, a few years prior to even starting the band, I had some of the songs already written. So they were, a few of the songs anyway, I brought initially to the band. And my idea at first was to just sort of play some open mics, get a feel for how these songs might go over with crowds and stuff like that. And me and Carter were in a band already called Beam Cannon, like you said. And so we kind of progressed into making this band. We didn't have any sort of like prior discussions, maybe prior to jamming or anything like that, about what we wanted to sound like. And I think it was kind of more natural and organic because of that. We kind of just put our instruments on. I showed everybody the basic skeletons of what I had to start out with, and then it kind of just progressed from there. So I don't think there was a prior discussion. I think we just kind of let it flow.
Our bass player comes from like a punk kind of garage background, so he brought a lot of that gritty element to our band. And me, Carter, and my two brothers, Cameron and Clayton, are in the band. And we play in another band, so like the songwriting process in our band is kind of cool because it's like really open. If you don't like a part, you just like, nah, that sucks, man, don't play that. Or like, so it's like, it's a pretty cool creative process in our band because it gets pretty heated at times. Sometimes me and Cameron and Clayton will start yelling at each other for like 5 minutes, like really loud. And then these guys, after we're done yelling, we're just like, we're okay. We're just back to normal, but they can't, it's really awkward for them. So like, we're like, what's wrong with you guys, man? Why are you guys so, what's wrong? Like, cause they're all like, it kind of kills the mood. But since we're brothers, it's just like, it's back to normal after 5 minutes of yelling at the top of our lungs.
Are you making a living from this band at this point?
I think we all have jobs still, so it's we haven't reached that sort of stage yet. I think we're all kind of conscious of the fact that if we keep working hard and maybe we get some good opportunities along the way, that it could potentially turn into that.
That's the goal.
You'd yeah, well, like absolutely. This to be yeah. Your... yeah.
Like this to be what you're doing.
The main
you're
vessel, yeah.
It's not
yeah.
like, oh, let's just make some music.
No. It's definitely something we see as a main creative vessel for us. We did chart on the Earshot charts. It's the college radio charts in, is it Ontario or Canada? Like,
I think it's Canada.
It's a national chart, Canada, yeah. So the campus radio has been really nice to us. We've gotten quite a bit of airplay on there.
So tell me about the full length.
We're really happy with all the songs we put on it. It's 11 songs. It's going to be a good mixture of pop songs and some heavier and grittier stuff, like I guess Carter was sort of alluding to earlier. We actually got a recording grant from the Ontario Arts Council, which helped us to record the record. And we went to a studio in our hometown of Sudbury. It's called Cosmic Dave's Guitar Emporium. It doubles as a guitar store and a recording studio. And we did the majority of the EP off the floor. So it's kind of an interesting aesthetic as compared to the EP because we did it so DIY prior to that. But yeah, the production's definitely a little cleaner, I would say.
It's much warmer sounding. Like if you, on the EP, there's like a little bit of harshness to it, but this album is like really warm sounding. We recorded it all to tape. The bass and drums were recorded to tape. And yeah, it's really warm sounding, and we're pressing it to vinyl and CD, which I'm really stoked on.
Well, that'll be fun.
We did stay with Chris though, the person who we recorded with the EP with. We brought him up to Sudbury. I just want to take Cosmic Dave is a really cool store though. There's like a whole bunch of vintage, like it's a vintage guitar amps store, and there's vintage guitars in there. And it used to be an old diner called Boomers, so there's still like the bar in there, and with like a bunch of bar stools. And like there's like a pedal box, like a pedal gallery on top of the bar. So it's like it's a really neat store. If you're ever in Sudbury, you should check it out.
That sounds like a possibility. First I have to get to Sudbury, but but anything. So you mentioned the US. You know, so Canada, you can subsist and you can be in Canada and you can have a career going back and forth in this country, and you can even play some pretty, you know, play Toronto, play Montreal, play Vancouver. You know, you can subsist here. But have you talked about what you really want this band to do? Do you want to, I mean, you were talking about the U.S., right? And that's the big thing, the crossing the border, right?
Well, yeah, that's how you get to the next level, right? Because there's so many more people in the States, and like the cities are so much closer together. So then you can like really get into touring and like hit a lot of dates and like get done. But so for some of us are still in school right now.
Ah, still going to university?
Yeah, I am, and Neil's in college.
Got it.
And but college is like different in Canada. It's like, I don't know, like university and college are the same in the States, right? But college is, I don't know, it doesn't matter. But we're looking to do like a 4-month tour of like 2 months in Canada, 2 months in the States next summer. So like that's why we're trying to get the publicity and stuff for the States. And then yeah, so. That'd be pretty cool.
So you did the one video, which was very much like a home movie, right?
Oh, for She Didn't Want Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that was done purposefully. You wanted it to be like that, right?
Yeah. Well,
it wasn't that you wanted low production value purposely. You intended it to be this way.
Completely intentional. I think like only in Northern Ontario will you see a bunch of people find their way out to this remote location in the winter, middle of freezing winter, bring a barbecue and bring like a bunch of alcohol and just have a party. And like at the same time, it was used in such a way that like we were really happy about it, to put it like, and it's completely intentional, like we said, to put that footage and have a good time with
that. It was awesome because like everyone really came through. We told everyone to bring like retro snowsuits and stuff. So one of our friends, was it Dan? Dan Carnevale, he brought a deep fryer, and he brought a bouncy castle and an inner tube and like a bunch of retro snowsuits for people. So like he kind of brought it to the next level. Like if you watch the video, like he almost made that like awesome, like what I think was awesome. And about the low production, we shot a lot of this stuff digitally. Like half of it was on like Hi-8 tapes.
I was gonna say it looked Hi-8 or even iPhone for that matter.
Yeah, half of it was on Hi-8 tapes and half of it was on like cameras, like HD cameras or right. Whatever. Like
so the HD
SLRs.
Stuff you also kind of disintegrated.
Yeah, and then what we did was we ripped it all to tape, even the tape footage. We put it onto a VHS, and then we got this thing that brings the VHS onto the computer. It was such a long process. I was like getting so mad.
It's a lot
mad.
Of work to make something look crummy, isn't
yeah.
it?
Like Clayton was like really insistent on doing it. Like it took like 4 hours to like maybe like 10 hours to get all the footage, like
to make it bad.
Yeah, to make it bad.
What you're going to walk into with your sound, the sound we're not going to talk about, is quotes like this. It's probably silly and unrequired to read into the lyrics here, as they tend not to verge on anything groundbreaking. There are many of those out there in the ether because social media these days.
Groundbreaking. And I think that's really, it's subjective. It's like, what is groundbreaking? What is weird? What is normal? What is pop music, really? Like, there's, it's such a convoluted stream that, like, when you think about it, for me, like, when I'm writing lyrics, like, it comes from a place of sincerity. And if someone doesn't want to see it as, like, I'm not trying to take it in a defensive manner, but, like, everyone's entitled to their opinion. And if somebody reads lyrics or listens to the song and feels that it's not something groundbreaking, then who am I to say that they're wrong? Because it's totally a subjective thing. So I feel like it, I feel grateful for that fact, because I can have an opinion on anything I want, just like anybody else can, or anybody with a computer or an English degree, like you said.
Yeah, we're super critical of music we listen to too, so like, I don't know, if someone wants to be critical of us, that's cool. A lot of the best pop songs have the most cheeseball lyrics ever, like the Beach Boys have, so like, none of their lyrics are groundbreaking, but like a lot of their lyrics are not groundbreaking.
Do you love me, do you, Surfer Girl? You mean you're not telling me that's not worthy of a doctoral dissertation?
Well, I don't know. Like, I can't think of that song right now. But I mean, I'm all really kidding bad aside, with song names.
And I mean this in a funny way. This is not a dumb band. This band's been to college. This band is not, you know, like coming from the, you know, I mean, you are coming from you know, the home of Nickel. But, you know, you're not coming from Cambridge or Oxford or like some of the more erudite bands, but that doesn't necessarily mean that people need to psychoanalyze the level of what you're doing, right?
I feel like Mike's lyrics have like, they're much better than a lot of pop songs. Like, at least it's not like super straightforward, like old Beatles is like, she loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like a great song, but it's like the, yeah, a lot of it's melody, just, yeah, like straightforward, like.
Yeah, they got deeper eventually.
Yeah,
they found their.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, they kind of found it. So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich.
Right on.
And it's two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.